Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish has been taking us through an in-depth study on the gift of prophecy. And I know this is a very controversial issue in the body of Christ, so this has been a very needed study. And today, Pastor Brian starts to deal with six principles for prophecy. And Pastor Brian will be starting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So let's go to Pastor Brian from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
So I want to go through six principles tonight, practical principles for prophecy. I encourage you to write these down. And we'll look at passages in the New Testament that will give us some guidelines. First of all, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. The first principle is do not despise prophecies. But then you're not open to everything that would come in the name of a prophecy, because it says test all things. Hold fast what is good. So you test it. If it's from the Lord, receive it. It's something good for your life. It's the grace of God coming to you. And I've had probably five very specific prophecies given to my life that some have come to pass and some are in the process of coming to pass that I can remember. And they were the grace of God coming into my life, helping me to continue on in the things that God has for me. And some of those I've held on to because those are things the Lord, by His grace, said, this is what I'm going to do in your life. And I've seen those come to pass to a degree. And I know the small portion it has, the rest of it will come to pass as well. And so I've also had false prophecies spoken to me, condemning, critical prophecies. And those you examine because you say, is it I, Lord? Am I a Judas? Am I this or that? You need to examine your hearts. God, by His grace, and say, no, that person's false. They're making up things that I haven't sent them to say. I had one guy, right, that the week before I was going to get married, he thought he was a prophet. And I knew that he wasn't, but he said, you know, Lisa's not the one that you should marry because she'll drag you down. She won't encourage you in the ministry. And, you know, you're kind of a nervous wreck as it is that we can get married. And then this guy lowers that bomb on me. And I knew it wasn't true, but you know what? Satan had a way to get in there and just kind of rattle you up. You know, I had to just throw it away because I knew it was false, but yet. So I've had false and I've had true prophetic words given to me. So I want that grace in my life. It's strengthened me. And it helped me to hold on during some of the tough times. Paul spoke to Timothy. He says, you know, through the gifts that were, through the laying on of hands, stir those gifts up. And he speaks about prophecy given in accordance with Timothy's calling and Timothy's ministry. He says, be reminded of those things that were spoken. And sometimes during the low times and difficult times, we hold on to those things that God spoke to us by His grace. Second of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, turn over there with me. Strongly desire prophecy. And this is where, again, your mind may need to be transformed because you may be neutral towards prophecy and that's not a biblical mindset. Let me repeat that. You may be neutral towards prophecy, but that is not a biblical mindset. You cannot say, let others prophesy. I don't think I want that, or I'm afraid of that. The Scriptures very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, pursue love. And you know, this is what people say, well, I just want to walk in love. I don't want to be too zealous about the gifts, I want to walk in love. You know what? If you really love the body of Christ, you're going to say, God used me to help them. You're going to say, I don't have the power to do so. So where you're back with God saying, God, I need your gifts so I could love these people over here. So, you know, you don't make a false dichotomy. There's love and there's the gifts. Because I love you, I ask for God's power upon my life. I need that. We all need it. So don't put love up there and hide behind that. It's not biblical. It says, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, why would he want them especially to prophesy? Well, in Corinth, they were zealous for the gift of tongues, which brought edification to themselves, but not others. So Paul says, if you're going to be zealous for gifts, that's a good thing. But be zealous for the ones that bring edification to the body. And prophecy is one of those gifts that brings edification to the body. So you should strongly desire prophecy. You should desire all the gifts. King James, the old King James says, covet earnestly the gifts. So there's that word covet. You really want it. You have to have it. That's what we should be towards the gifts. And if we're not, we're falling short of the biblical standard. That's why the transforming of the mind, that's where it all starts. Look also at verse 39 of chapter 14. It says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." So again, there's desire earnestly to prophesy. Now why? So that you can look spiritual? No. So you can bring edification to the body of Christ. I believe that's where the gifts of the Spirit starts. Where we start saying, "God, I want to be used by you. And I know that I have nothing to offer anybody, and I want your supernatural power to flow through me." And you say that prophecy is good. Lord, speak something to me that I can encourage the body of Christ. So the body of Christ could be edified. I want to be a member that does that for others. Pour your grace out upon my life. Flow it through me to touch others. That's the mindset in relation to the gifts. Not focusing on the gifts themselves, but focusing on, I want to be used by the Lord with His supernatural enablings. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the spirits." I believe fear quenches the spirits. Sin could quench the spirit and grieve the spirit. Any other things that could limit what God wants to do through our life, but one of them is quenching, saying, "No, I don't want that," and resisting that. Because God's not going to force a prophecy down your throat and heart and minds. He wants people to say, "God, here I am. Use me. Any way that you want is what you place me in the body of Christ for." And that could be in our public gatherings, and it could be in the home Bible studies. It could be as you're fellowshipping with people, as you're ministering to people. These gifts aren't located in the church, in the building. It's not like we gather together, "Oh, here comes the Holy Spirit, and here's where He gives the gifts out." Whenever you run into somebody, pray, "God, show me what to say." You'll be surprised as you start asking that question, God will start revealing things to you. And you'll start speaking things that, you know, you didn't plan, and that person thinks, "Boy, this guy's reading my mind. How did he know all these things?" That's what happens as I teach the Bible. There's people, "Oh, how did he know that about me?" I don't. It's the Spirit working through. He'll do that anywhere, in any situation. We're focusing on the body of Christ tonight, but we need to be open, and we can quench by not desiring. So the first principle is don't despise. Second of all is strongly desire. Third, I kind of jumped ahead of myself already and mentioned this, but it flows out of a desire to minister. That should be the motive. It's out of a desire to minister to others. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. He says, "Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you excel." And that needs to be the motive. I want the church to be built up rather than I want to look spiritual. Boy, look, I gave a prophecy and everybody thinks I'm a man of God. That has nothing to do with it. And Satan will try and put those thoughts into your mind and heart and kind of ruin what the Spirit of God wants to do. But God checks the motive. And your motive should be, I want to build up the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:31 on the same point. It says, "But earnestly desire." Are you hearing that? Earnestly desire. It repeats itself. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, what are the best gifts? The one that you're most comfortable with? The list that you pick out, and it's a shopping list, "Oh, I like that and that"? No. Some translations say desire the greater gifts. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, and you'll see what the greater gifts are or what the best gifts are, because the same word that's used. Paul says, "I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification." It's the same word that's translated best in the New King James in 1 Corinthians 12:31, translated greater in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. And what's Paul's point? Well, use these gifts. These gifts are greater because they build up the body of Christ. That's where these gifts need to flow out of the motive from our hearts. First, we desire them, but then we desire to serve others and be a blessing to others. I mean, he does say that if you prophesy, you're greater than he who speaks with tongues. Now, he's not saying for us to, "Well, I'm greater than you. I prophesy. You only speak in tongues." That's not it. You're functioning at a greater capacity because you're helping others. Tongues helps you, which is good, Paul says. I wish you all spoke with tongues. But when the body comes together, what do we need? We don't just need self-edification. We need the entire body to be edified. How's that going to happen? By everyone speaking in tongues? No. Through prophecies given. And it builds up and it edifies the body of Christ. You know, I just would have to say that even though I'm teaching on this, some are still saying, no way. That's not for me. If you want to be used by the Lord, you have to open up to the Spirit of God. That's like foundational. And to open up to the Spirit of God is not to say, Holy Spirit, this is what I will allow you to do in my life. You could do this, but not this area. That's quenching the Spirit. And unfortunately, the Holy Spirit will probably honor that. He doesn't have to. He could do what he wants through our lives. God is God. But it seems primarily the biblical pattern is, he says, you desire these things and I'll work through you. You don't desire them and you won't. You're afraid of them, then it won't happen. So even though the scriptures are clear, that's why I said it takes a transformation of your minds. I was very fortunate. As soon as I got saved, I saw prophecy, I saw healing, I saw tongues, heard tongues, interpretation. It was just like, well, this is Christianity. So I didn't have to work through, well, the Baptists say that these things aren't for today. I saw it. I experienced it, and I knew it was the grace of God, and it was not Satan that was touching my life in these areas and touching our group. So some would come along and say they don't exist today, but simple example, you could be playing basketball, and a guy could say, basketball just doesn't exist today, and you, well, I'm playing it, it's right here, see? And that's how I think of the gifts. You could stand over in your theological corner and say, oh, those were for the first century, but we need to use them. That'd be the key, is that we desire. And God flows through that heart. And the desires is so that you could be a blessing to others. That's what God wants. I'm a member of this body to bless others. God, I need your power to do so.